So my name is Catherine, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I don't speak on behalf of OA, so if I speak on behalf of myself, and if you don't relate to what I'm saying, then there'll be lots of speakers throughout the day with whom you can relate, I'm sure. And if you need to get up and use the washroom or anything like that, that's just fine. If you want to leave altogether, I can give you the high points right now. I'm supposed to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. What it was like was really, really bad. What happened was OA, and what it's like now is really, really good. So if you need to go and do other things, that's the gist of it. But otherwise, for those of you who'd like to stay, I will tell you a little. I'll fill in a few more details around those categories. I was a compulsive overeater from the first moment that I had choices around food. My mom tells me that I didn't eat an inordinate amount of breast milk, so I'm assuming that it started a little bit after that, but not very long. My first memory of overeating was I would have been about 4, and I was trying with all my might to get the cookie jar off of the counter so that I could have the cookies inside. And then I had the cookies. And then I rearranged the rest of the cookies so it didn't look like I had eaten as much of those cookies as I had, and then put it back. And so I would have been maybe 4 when that happened. And so I've had this from the very beginning of my choices around food. And also, I used food as an escape. It's always been about an escape. I didn't overeat regular meals. It was always about taking the food and buying a few minutes of oblivion with it. So after I toddled around, and I knew I was doing something wrong. Actually, I might have even been younger than 4. I knew I was doing something wrong because I closed my eyes, covered my ears, and went to find my mom when my mouth was full, eating these stolen cookies. And even then, I knew that something was wrong, and I just couldn't figure it out. So I went along my merry way, and from maybe 3 or 4 when I first started eating compulsively, and around aged 10 or 11, I discovered that I needed to lose weight in my mind. So the other part of it started where I would start to diet. I desperately wanted to be anorexic, like so badly. I can't even describe how badly I wanted to be anorexic. And every morning I was anorexic. I'd get up at 7 and I was anorexic till 7:15, and then I was into the food. Like, I never could figure out how to do anorexia. I took books out of the library on how to be like about anorexia, trying to figure out how I could do that. But I just had the garden variety eating problem of just eating till I couldn't stand up. I desperately wanted to be exercise bulimic, but I just couldn't get to the gym. And I wanted to be bulimic in other ways. And I tried, and I again read books about how to do it, strategies, and I just couldn't do it. So it's like I couldn't even do the eating disorder I wanted. I got the eating disorder that I got, which was eating and then dieting, eating and dieting and eating and dieting and eating and dieting and eating and dieting. And as my illness progressed, I did more of the eating and less of the dieting, to the point where when I came into the rooms of OA, I couldn't stop eating for even 18 hours. I couldn't stop binging for 18 hours. I completely and totally was in the grips of this. And this is the big book, which most of you, I'm sure, are very familiar with. But it has a clarity about it that I really appreciate. And it's not for anyone to tell anybody if they're a compulsive overeater, but there's a really clear definition on page 44. It says, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when eating you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably a compulsive overeater. And that is a simple definition that at first my eating took, I was in control of my eating, and at some point my eating was controlling me. And I don't know when I passed the line from being an overeater to being a full-blown addict, but I know I was binging at the time. And by the there were many, many years after which I was a full-blown addict and I did not realize I was powerless over food. I was mesmerized by the idea that if I just figured out how to eat and stuck to it, and I mean seriously this time, stick to it, that I would be okay. Because it was a really simple proposition, right? If you don't, you know, and I have all these charts about, okay, there's 3,500 calories in a pound, and if I did that, and then in 4 days I'll do that, and in 10 days I'll do that, and then all this is going to be great, and then I'd be like, oh, okay, and then I go binge. Right? Okay, I got that sorted out, and then I go binge. So, and I was really determined to figure this out, and when it wasn't happening in my real life, I would go into fantasy. So I'd figure out, I'd go, okay, what if, the thing that drove me crazy were thin women who ate salads. I did not like these people. I didn't understand them at all. When I first came into program and I heard about the spirituality, I was like, I don't want spirituality. I want a fast metabolism. Please give me a fast metabolism. Because I had found my happiness in overeating. There was nothing in the world that was more glorious to me than pulling the blinds, unplugging everything, and binging myself into oblivion. That, to me, was the height of human experience. And when I would see people out there doing activities, like going to the art gallery, museum, or stuff, I would just be like, they're pretending to enjoy those things until they can get home and binge their faces off. Because that was it. And I remember when I was a little kid and I was at the counter with the candy bars right in front of my eyes. And the only thing between me and all of that was the fact that I got 25 cents a week for allowance. So it was out of my snack bracket, so to speak. And I turned to my mom and I said, when I'm an adult, I'm going to buy all those things. And she said, oh, sweetie, no, you won't. I did. I bought all of those things. And I became so ill by the way that I was eating when I was 20 years old. A doctor told me that I was going, that by the time I was 40, I was going to be in a wheelchair because of how I was eating. And I had enough insight at that point to say, I can't stop. I know it's killing me. It just makes me hate myself more when I'm binging. I can't stop. He had the foresight to send me to a treatment center to get some help. And as I said to him, as I was getting on the airplane, I do not want a spiritual awakening. I want a fast metabolism. I want to figure out how I can be thin and be able to keep what I love the most, which is the ability to close everything out and to binge myself into oblivion. And I also had a lot of fantasies. So these thin women that ate salads and worked out at the gym, I did not understand them. They actually made me a little bit violent. I'm not going to lie. So I'd had this fantasy that there would be a really fit woman who would switch bodies with me for 2 months. And then I would take her body and binge it like 50 pounds up. She would take my body and go to the gym and eat salads. And then we swap. And then I'd find someone else and I'd swap again. And I also had I spent a lot of time in my head. I had the other idea too that somehow there would be some pill I could take that as soon as I'd eaten 3,500 calories, it would start subtracting calories. So if I ate 7,000 calories, I was back to zero. And if I ate 10,500 calories, I would actually lose a pound. So I spent a lot of time thinking about these things. And the reality was I just kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And by the time I heard about OA, I had devastated my health. And as I said, the doctor indicated to me that if I didn't stop, I would be in a wheelchair with heart disease. I was a very sick person. And I went to a treatment center, which was helpful, but I came out of it having heard about OA, but thinking OA was for people who couldn't go to treatment. And what I had was a food plan, and that's all I needed. And the food plan was really big about not having sugar. So I really thought, as long as I don't have sugar, I'm okay. So what that looked like for me was I'd go to the occasional OA meeting and talk about how great treatment was, and then think, oh, I really don't have to be here. because I was in treatment. So I just have to stick with my food plan. So what that looked like is I was calling myself abstinent, and I was eating 7 packs of sugar-free gum a day and ingesting it, and which landed me in the hospital. And they're like, they thought I had kidney stones or whatever. It did not occur to me that eating and ingesting and swallowing 7 packs of sugar-free gum a day could contribute to that, or mixing huge amounts of sweet and low with raw Jell-O and ingesting that, because I abstained because I wasn't eating sugar in my mind. So I continued to get, even with this idea of like, of as long as I didn't eat sugar, I was okay. And I was so sick in the disease. And I had an OA angel reach out to me in the form of my beloved aunt who was in the program. And she said, you might want to try OA. And I was like, all right, I'll try it just because my aunt asked me to, but I don't really need it because I don't know what. And I went to a retreat, and I realized in an instant how very, 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 very sick I was. And I wanted more than weight loss, more than anything, to be free from the compulsion, because it had completely, totally taken over my life. I would go to bed surrounded by bags and bags of food, begging God not to let me wake up in the morning, because I couldn't stop doing what I was doing. And my experience has been that a thorough step one is the most important bedrock of the program. Until I was at that point of really seeing the truth that I could not stop on my own, that I was powerless, until I got that at a deep level, I couldn't do the rest of it. And the big book talks about there can be no, the idea that we can be like regular people has to be smashed. Like there was no question in my mind by the time that I got into these rooms that I was going to die. And the food had stopped working for me. There was a time when I thought I was going to die, but the food was still working. But when I thought I was going to die and the food stopped working, that was a disaster. I'd spent many, many years with a bag full of binge foods here and a new book on the new diet that was going to happen. And so I would binge on all this stuff knowing it was my last binge because this book was going to change everything. And I did that for years and years and years and years. And the day that it came to me that I was living in hell today and tomorrow wasn't going to be different was when I was ready for OA. And I remember so clearly that I used to, every morning would be my, this is going to be the first day of the rest of my life. This is going to be the first day of the rest of my life. Today's going to be different, different, different. And I would start with a breakfast that was like nothing. And I would say, this is going to be the day when I finally implement the diet. And the morning that I had binged so badly by 8:30 in the morning, and I knew that that the rest of the day was going to be a nightmare, was when I truly hit bottom, like truly hit bottom. And when I did step one and got that I was totally powerless and my life was unmanageable, that opened me up to doing step two. Can you let me know when I have 5 minutes? That opened me up to doing step two, which is came to believe a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. And for me, I had come from a very religious background. I'd had actually training in religious schools, and I had a very clear concept of what God could and could not do. And I felt that I was to be punished for being gluttonous and for being so self-centered, and that higher power in a world of starving people had no interest in my disgusting binging. And so when it came to step two, but came to believe in a power greater than me that could restore me to sanity, I had to make something up. And I did that great exercise of like, okay, setting everything aside, given that I'm desperate. I would never do this if I wasn't desperate. Never. If I had any choice in the matter, I would be out there in angry agnosticism, having cappuccinos, talking about big ideas that had nothing to do with anything. That's where I would be. I would not be on my knees trying to figure out a higher power that I needed to save my life. But there I was. And so I said, and in my training, if you make up your idea of God, it's a one-way ticket to hell. So it wasn't an exercise that I took lightly, but it was an exercise I took in complete desperation. So I put pen to paper and said, just pretending, if I had to create a higher power to get me out of this hell, what would that look like? And it would be like, okay, here it is. This higher power would think I was the best thing ever. Like, really? Get the biggest kick out of me and just think I was the best. And this higher power would have so much power. Like, if I was tempted by food, there'd be like 10,000 angels that would come between me and the refrigerator. In a moment. And this higher power wanted me to have the most gorgeous life imaginable. The most gorgeous life. Didn't believe a word of it. But I pretended I believed it. And I have to say that when I came into this program, I could not stop binging for 18 hours. And I have not binged for over 18 years. And that is about that higher power that I discovered by pretending. So whenever I had wanted to overeat or do something like that, I asked that higher power that thought I was fabulous, wanted me to have a gorgeous life, could bring 10,000 angels at a moment's notice to my side. I asked that higher power to help me. And every single time, there's not one time when I've asked that higher power for help that's not come through. I don't understand it. I have no theological framework for it. I, honest to God, I need it, and it's there. And so this opened my world. That's the same higher power that I have today. I don't understand it, and I need it. And I had an experience early on in recovery when I had put down the food and I'd start to be obstinate. I had an overwhelming experience of this higher power that was so beautiful and so unspeakably joyous that I knew in that moment that my compulsion to overeat had been removed from me. And it was an extraordinary thing. I was just going along, and then everything was completely different. And at the time, I was seeing a psychiatrist, and he said, okay, how many times did you binge last week? I said, none. He said, the week before? I said, none. He said, the week before that? I said, none. He goes, okay, no, really, how many times did you binge? I said, really? And he's like, wow, I don't know what happened to you, but, you know, keep it going. And it was amazing. But what happened, though, is I had that spiritual awakening, and I started to think, you know what? Me and God have got this good thing going, just God and I and the 10,000 angels. I don't probably need to go to OA. That's for people who don't have the kind of connection I have with God. It's getting a theme here, right? And then I had an incident where I very nearly used again, and I had this, like, go to OA so strong in my mind. I was like, okay, God, I'll go. I promise I'll go. And that was at noon, and then at 4 o'clock, I was like, oh, do I really have to go? Go! I was like, shh, out the door. And the same group of people that I had kind of provocated, like, oh, I don't know, they're kind of, I don't know, really, if this is my thing. I was like, oh, my God, where have these beautiful people been all this time, these wise, beautiful souls? And so there's something profound about this program that it's not, I admitted I'm powerless over food. It's we. And there's something about the we. And there's something about the me and the level of self-centeredness that I have, that I have to be of service all the time. And it says in the big book really clearly that we either die an addicted death, or we live on a spiritual basis. And that's where I've had to come. And I am so not even close to perfect. Like, it's actually a little bit embarrassing how close I'm not to perfect. But I desire it, and my higher power is so generous that it's not required. And I remember someone telling a story about how she had decided that she was going to binge, she didn't care, and she's like, fuck you, God, I'm binging. And then the phone rang and it was someone from OA. And I thought, that's my higher power. Like, fuck you is considered a prayer. I love that. I love it. I love it. I do. It's a conversation, right? And so the experience of like all the hundreds of people that have gone to the Big Book, and my experience is that our higher power, there's a generosity, there is a desire to embrace. All we have to do is ask for help, whatever language, whatever. And so when I went to step three about turning my will and my life over to the care of God, every time I get there and I don't want to do that, I have to look at what I'm defining my higher power as. And I got to go back. Because when I think about this is a higher power that wants me to have a gorgeous life that's happy, joyous, and free, then that's okay to turn my will and my life over. And then the step four process around looking at the defects, I really look at it like there's this huge, massive sunshine of the spirit that's just like huge and gorgeous. And my defects of character and my resentments and my fears, they block me off from that. It's always there, but it blocks me off. So step four is a great, step four or five is a great opportunity to get in and clean up, shine the windows so that I can have more of that light brought in. And I've done a number of fourth and fifths, and I've taken a number of them. And what I've discovered is that there's nothing new under the sun, and that most people are, you know, greedy and judgmental and mean-spirited and all kinds of stuff. And if I discover someone who's not, I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. because that's certainly my experience. I have lots of great things, but there's a strong kind of judgment and self-hatred and all kinds of stuff that my higher power had to remove from me. And what was so great, though, is that I had the experience of having the compulsion around food taken away. And so I knew that compared to that, that was child's play for my higher power, because I was totally, completely enslaved to the food. I was obsessed about it, and I was dying from it. And so that knowledge that higher power could do that was really helpful to me. And every time I discover a new defect, it's like fantastic. I have clarity so that I can ask my higher power to remove it and replace it with the alternative. With the opposite, and the Big Book is really sometimes the language can seem a bit, you know, archaic, because in terms of when it was written, but it's so beautiful, and there's a in the story he who loses his life. It's a beautiful line. It says, I choose to believe that the power greater than ourselves we ask for help wrapped my shivering body in loving warmth and strength, which has never left me. And I've heard OA described as a self-help program. And it's like, no, 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 no. Self-help brought me to the program. This is about finding a power greater than me that can solve my problem. So it hasn't been 18 years of white knuckling it. I couldn't do 18 hours of white knuckling. It has been 18 years of the problem having been removed because I found the power that could remove it for me. And I did the other work to clear the path so that I could have that power flow in more easily. And I've heard it said, you know, some people are reticent to talk about kind of the spirituality because they don't want to frighten the newcomer. And it's like, in my view, that's all we got. Because that, and again, I don't know if I can find it, but the shortest line in the Big Book is my favorite. And it says, the shortest sentence, it says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power greater than ourselves, period. And the next word is, obviously. Obviously. So what is delicious is when I connect with that reality, and the Big Book talks about it as that great reality, when I connect with that I am part of something that is so mysterious and so beautiful that I can't imagine. And people say, I'm grateful to be a compulsive overeater, and I am in this sense, that if not for the brokenness and having been on my brought to my knees with food, I wouldn't have discovered that there's a power out there greater than me. And I believe that higher power shines through the broken places, because that's where the cracks are. And so the thing that was my greatest struggle has become the source of my greatest strength. And so when I connect with that higher power, there's really clear instructions in the big book about what to do with that, what that looks like on a daily basis. It says if we're going through the day and we're agitated or uncertain about something, we pause, we ask that higher power for help, and we carry on, and the right answers come. In the morning, when we wake up, we look at the 24 hours ahead, and we ask our higher power to be part of everything that we do in that day. When we have a resentment against somebody, it says we talk to somebody about it at once, see if we have to make any amends, and then we ask our higher power to remove that and direct our attention to someone we can help. And so for me, it's a lot about directing my attention to where I can be helpful. Because my compulsive overeating was about taking in the food to have oblivion so I'd have nothing to do with you. And then the fantasy of being, you know, slim and fabulous so that you would be jealous of me. And that was really my life. So the self-centeredness in that is really profound. And again, the big book talks about that's the core of our problem. That's why step three is about relieve me of the bondage to self. Because there is no bondage that is as deep in my experience as the bondage that I have to myself. And I have so far to go. It's laughable in terms of the spiritual life. I'm trying. But when the big book says, you know, at night we ask ourselves, you know, do I have any resentments? Was I selfish? Are there any of these things that happened today? Was I kind and loving towards all? And every time I read it, it's like, towards all? Like everybody? Like all day? Really? So including me, myself. So I have a long way to go, but I know that it's where I want to go. And I know that it's beautiful. And so what it's like today is that I have a plan of eating. I work with a sponsor. I have sponsees. I go to meetings, and I have a really gorgeous life. As my higher power has enabled for me, and instead of at 40 being in a wheelchair, I had a beautiful bouncing baby girl, who is the light of my life, and she has never ever had a moment taken away from her because of preoccupation with food. Not a second. I have a husband of 10 years who has never once had to worry about my food. It's totally out of context for him. And I had to laugh because when in OA they say, oh, wait a year before you start having relationships. So I'm like, after a year, it's like, okay. After 2 years, all right. 5 years, okay, I'm ready now. Okay, we're good. Anyway, so it took a while. But they say, I've heard it said that the slogans just fell down. I heard it said that you grow, when you start using as an addict is when you stop growing up emotionally. And so for a lot of alcoholics or addicts, that might be 12 or 14 or whatever. For me, I was 3. So my emotional recovery has been painstaking and been cradled in the awake program and in the confidence that there's a beautiful, loving higher power. But I've had to learn how to be in relationships because I stopped growing up at 3. I got bigger, but I stopped growing up emotionally because it always went to the food. And so I've had to learn to go to higher power and to be in relationships with people and without any back door of being able to leave to binge or anything else like that. And so it's been a really great experience. So by my calculations, I have the emotional maturity now of about a 21-year-old, which they say in brain development is when your brain stops developing and you kind of start to reach adulthood. So I'm just tippy-toeing into adulthood. and I'm sure my husband will be relieved as I progress along the trajectory of adulthood. and it is the great joy of my life to be part of OA. I know that it saved my life, and it gave me the ability to be in relationships. It gave me the ability to be a mom. It gave me ability to do work that I love. And my prayer each day is that, praying only for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. And what I know from my experience is God's will for me is more beautiful than anything I could imagine for myself, and that the power is right there. And these insights I got in these rooms, and I'm so very grateful for that. And thank you.